Brand new episode of Liquor Talk starts right now. Welcome everybody to another edition of the Liquor Talk podcast. I'm your man Victor, and I am coming to you live in Orlando, Florida at the Studio D3. Shout out to my brother Don for opening up to new venue. And this is the first time that I've recorded in his new venue. I previously recorded in the other venues and stuff, so which is nice, but rest in peace to the old venue and hello to the new venue. For the first time this year, this is the first live episode of Liquor Talk this season. And also, shout out to my guest who's here today. We got Love from the Journey with Love podcast. She also hosts the Journey with Love games as well. So shout out to her and thank you for being on tonight, Love. How you doing tonight?
I'm fabulous. Thank you for having me.
I definitely appreciate you coming on. And also, once again, shout out to my brother Don. Shout out to the Studio D3, the new independent Dream Factory, right here in Orlando, Florida. And also, shout out to them Rattlers for stomping Bethune-Cookman once again. It's nothing like winning a big rivalry game, you know what I'm saying? Because now you got bragging rights to everybody in the state because, you know, for people that live here, you know, it's like the two big HBCUs in Florida going at it. And we won again. So shout out to FAMU. So enough about that. How you doing tonight?
I am great. I'm not a Florida native, so, you know, I don't unfortunately get into all the hype of the classics, but I know it had to be a dope, amazing time.
So. Yes, it's an amazing time with a whole bunch of beautiful melanated people taking over the city. Okay. Yes, so that's basically what it is. Like, I'm not sure if you went off to college or not, but it'd be like your college biggest rivals and you beat your rival.
Okay.
That's exactly what it's like.
Nice.
And also, once again, also I forgot, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I ain't got the beans, greens, and tomato song going, you know what I'm saying? The anthem of Thanksgiving. But happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I hope you guys enjoy your turkey. I hope y'all enjoy watching the Cowboys, you know what I'm saying? I'm not about tired of watching the damn Cowboys every on Thanksgiving, but it is what it is. But what's something you're thankful for?
I am thankful for good health. I'm thankful for being in my right mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for my family and my support system.
Yes, yes. Those are some wonderful things to be thankful for. Personally, this year, I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful that I'm be able to see another year in a couple of weeks, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just thankful to be alive because so many people have passed away, and it's just, sometimes 2023 can kick your behind, but the fact of the matter is you're still hanging in there and you're still pushing. So that is something definitely to be thankful for. Now, what's the Thanksgiving food that everybody goes crazy for that you are like, hell no, I'm not eating this?
For the people that still eat the oppressive meals, like, we free now. We ain't got to keep eating chitlins and, you know,
people eat chitlins and hog walls on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's typically a Thanksgiving dish. But we free now, people. We ain't got to keep eating that.
Man, y'all need to get with the times, man. We are definitely free. We are not eating no damn hog maws or no pig intestines. No, we are not eating them things. We are definitely free now. But I know one thing I don't like, and I don't like no dry turkey. You know what I'm saying? People who claim the turkey be good, but that turkey be dry sometimes. I just be like, nah, man. But shout out to the ones that make the turkey with the flavor in it. The turkey ain't dry when you're eating it and stuff. And also, how long do you wait before throwing out Thanksgiving leftovers?
They can make it a good, you know, five days at
least. 5 days?
At least. Absolutely.
God damn, 5 days.
Absolutely.
5 days on the Thanksgiving leftovers, man. Yeah. And y'all don't get tired of them because I remember one year I did a Friendsgiving for my friends and stuff, and I got tired of them leftovers after day two. Day two, I was like, okay, I'm about to donate this. I'm about to take this to a homeless person and let them have the town because you get tired of eating the same things like every day for the next 5 days.
I don't know. You know, the seasons just get to settling in after day two. So, you know, get a different flavor. And then with the turkey, you can make different leftovers, turkey salad and turkey, whatever else you can come up with. So you get creative.
Yes, you definitely can get creative. And also shout out to family as well. Because the one thing I realized about when you're old enough to sit at the grown folks table, so now you get all the family tea, but sometimes it's that one elder that still want to be disrespectful. I don't know if you got to deal with that in your family, but...
good thing I don't actually know.
Yeah, you're blessed and I have to deal with that. And also shout out to everybody. Shout out to Walmart for giving their employees off on Thanksgiving and letting them enjoy Thanksgiving. Because I remember I worked at Walmart when I was in college. Man, every Thanksgiving they needed us in there. I'm like, because the Black Friday sales started once it was midnight, then it got to 8 p.m., then it got to 6 p.m. I'm like, what the hell are y'all doing? Now, I'm just happy not to be working in retail over the holidays because retail, it's crazy. I feel bad for retail workers during the holidays because you'll have customers fighting over waffle makers, fighting over parking spots. It's crazy.
So they're giving us consumers a day off at Walmart. We're going to have to check ourselves out.
Speaking of, I saw the one where they had the nerve to ask for a tip. I'm like, tip you for what? I basically scanned everything. What am I tipping you for?
You just standing over there watching me. You ain't going to come help or nothing.
You ain't going to come help. You ain't help me bag. You ain't help me put this in my car. What am I tipping you for? I'm like, the Waltons are worth the billions of dollars. What the hell y'all need my tip for?
We need some W-2s or something out of them.
Yeah, y'all want to demand tips and stuff, but enough of all that. Tell the people about the Journey with Love podcast.
All right, so the Journey with Love podcast, and Journey with Love is actually my umbrella. So under that, I have my Journey to Love dating game show. But with Journey with Love, we just talk, have different discussions around dating and around relationship, around healing as well. Healing is my biggest message. You know, we want to be whole individuals if we're going to be effective in this dating game. So the Journey with Love podcast will bring on, I have right now primarily my right-hand man, Bryant Bunton. We're collaborating together and, you know, he's a specialist when it comes to public health and relationships. He's wrote a few books and things like that. So just to get some healthy perspective from a healthy man and a healthy woman to see how we can help other people understand the importance of healing if you're going to be out here dating.
Yes, that is wonderful that people, because you never realize how many people out here are still trying to heal, but yet they think healing is being up under somebody. No, that's not healing. Like, healing is you got to do the self-work. You got to realize what the hell went wrong and what did you learn from it? How can you better yourself? Not trying to jump up under somebody else.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the whole serial dating to avoid looking at yourself so you just go from one situation to the next. It's not it.
Yeah, that's definitely not it. And I know some people that it feels like they can't be by themselves, but I'm not going to tell them that because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hurt their feelings, you know what I'm saying? But if you jump in from place to place, you're not healing. It's not helping you. So,
yeah.
So talk a little bit about the Journey with Love. What made you start this whole umbrella thing you got going on? What made you want to start this?
Well, I've been on a spiritual journey for about 3, maybe 4 years now. And so I started to brand myself is where the whole love, the name of love comes from. And so as I was branding myself, and it's actually Love Evolved is the whole name or brand for me. And it just being that I went from a place of bitterness, hurt, anger, mad all the time, and have evolved into a person who knows the importance of peace and love and things like that. And so everything I do exemplifies love. And so I have an obligation, if I have made it out of the wilderness, I like to say, I have an obligation to help others heal. And so that comes through teaching a message of love, consciousness. So yeah, that's again, the purpose of the podcast is to help enlighten people on the importance of love, relationship and healing.
What was the biggest obstacle you had to get over in order to find your healing process to where you're not bitter and mad with the world all the time?
The biggest obstacle probably for most of us is really just becoming self-aware, right? Like a lot of us, we hold on to the pain that we've experienced, not understanding that this pain was necessary to refine us or to shape and mold us into the person that we are. And so a lot of the times, again, we'll hold on to that pain instead of asking the question, okay, what is this to teach me? And so, again, my purpose is to help people have a different way of thinking when it comes to their experiences and their trauma so that they can begin to release and let it go.
Mm-hmm. Now, has it been a hard process to help people to learn their traumas and to learn the lessons that they were meant to learn? Because sometimes you try to teach somebody something, but they don't get it, you know?
What I am learning is that everybody arrives at their own time. So really, as light bearers, you know, it's mm-hmm. our responsibility to just show up and allow other people to be able to utilize our energy, I guess, to say, to maybe help them transform or to help them see a different way. And I know my message isn't for everybody. So for those that are in alignment with me, then that means that at some point they have a desire to change, grow, and evolve.
That's definitely real. You definitely have some very real messages that you got going on. So what inspires you to give the messages? Because sometimes people will want to heal and they just want to continue with life instead of sharing their light with others.
Well, you know, for me, I just got tired of living a low vibrational life. So I just made a conscious decision. I want to do something different. Like, this just cannot be life. You know, I had a situation because I was in a relationship with my ex-husband for 25 years and we were trauma bonded, you know, mm-hmm. and I was such an angry person, emasculating. I was awful. I'm not even going to lie. And there was a day where I was yelling and screaming and hollering at him like I so often did. And in the midst of yelling at him, I thought I was going to have a brain aneurysm. Like, I felt this really sharp pain right mm-hmm. in the center of my head. And I thought I was about to drop dead right there at his feet. And damn. When I realized that, you know, about 10 seconds or whatever had passed, and I realized, okay, I'm still standing. I didn't die. It was in that moment that I decided I can't live like this. I don't want to die because I'm so angry and I don't know how to regulate, you know, these emotions. So I made a decision right there that it's time to change.
Yeah. That's so serious. But how did the ex-husband get under the skin to the point where you felt yourself having a brain aneurysm? Because it's like, is that a sign that someone just knows you too well and they just intentionally decide to just press your buttons?
Well, like I said, we were trauma bonded. So we got together at a very young age, 15 and 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we were very young getting together. And, you know, and when you get together young like that, you may not grow together. And that was our situation. We grew apart. And so, one person got to a point where they decided they were ready to change and the other person just isn't there yet. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't necessarily I'm not intending to hurt you or point fingers at you. It was more so when people aren't ready to heal, that it's easier for them to point fingers of blame than to examine themselves. And if you have to make me the highlight of your problem, then that means you're going to continue to manipulate me and convince me that it's me. And after a while, that's enough to drive a person insane that you're always blaming me for problems. You know, you go out and get drunk, but yet somehow that's my fault. You know, you go out and mess up the money, but yet somehow that's my fault. And when you continue to take that level of abuse is what that is. Again, it's enough to almost drive you mad because you're questioning your sanity at this point. Like, am I tripping? You know, it's called gaslighting. So
yeah, that's definitely gaslighting for real. And it's like, I'll say more power to you for trying to stick with the person that it feels like they don't take accountability for their actions for that long. Because it's like, nowadays you meet a lot of people nowadays that they will rather just justify their actions instead of taking the accountability and fixing their actions to where y'all can make the relationship better, though. But how did it last like 25 years, though? That's a really long time to last with somebody.
Yeah. Well, the sex was great. You know, that probably was a big factor. And when you're broken, you know, I was such a broken woman. You think from a broken filter. You don't have healthy ways of thinking. And so I convinced myself that, you know, this is what I'm worth. You know, this is the best that I can do. Somebody loves me and that's good enough. You know, even if he wasn't able to love me the way that I needed, it still was, oh, somebody loves me. And I grew up not feeling the love from family and things like that. So the moment that someone came into my life showing me just a little bit of attention, I held on for dear life. And so I just continued to hold on until, again, I got to a point where, okay, I don't think I'm holding on to the right thing.
Yeah, it's like, and if the person doesn't realize that they have a catch right here, that person that hasn't experienced love, man, you need to shower them with all the love, but over time, not all at once, but over time. Right. But it's crazy. But I'm happy you got out of that situation, though, because a lot of people, they wouldn't get out of that situation. They would stay settled for the rest of their lives until death do them part.
Right. And you get an early death when you do that, you know, because we understand now in this day and age that our mental health is important. Our mental health is crucial for our, you know, for keeping us alive and sustaining us. So sticking it out through a toxic relationship is no longer the logical thing to do just because we have children or I don't know where I'm going to go. You're going to go to the grave if you continue to deal with toxic situations because, it's leading people to the early death.
It really is leading to early death. It's like, I know some people that die early. I'm like, y'all so young, though. It's like, you know, but my coworker brought this up. So is there a thing like called soul ties? Like, how do you feel about that? Could that factor into why someone would just stay with someone for so long knowing that they ain't no good?
Yeah, I absolutely do believe in soul ties, you know, and that kind of goes along with when you're trauma bonded with someone. And actually, when you enter in course, have sex with someone, that's really where that trauma bond takes effect. It's even more imprinted on you. So like somebody for me where I have an almost obsessive personality, right? And so I don't even have to get to a point where intimacy is involved. Just that exchange of energy over not even a long duration, over a couple of weeks will have me in a soul tie because my thoughts are always with you, you know? So that you're taking my attention, my energy, or I'm giving it rather, and all of that. And so really that can start a soul tie. But when you get intimate and you have sex with someone, again, that imprints their DNA on you or within you. And so now, again, you have this hard time of pulling away or disconnecting from them. Your judgment is now clouded. So, yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting way of looking at sex, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people nowadays, they don't think of sex like that. They just think of it as like a quick nut or if it's somebody you really like, something you can sustain. But,
exactly.
You know.
It's no longer a sacred act. We just give it away freely, so.
Yeah, this generation is just crazy. It's the times. It's like, you know, it's everywhere. You know, it's like you see it all over social media. You can't even hide it no more.
I don't even think they try to hide it. You know, as a single mother I have a 17-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl, and you have, you know, all these different artists like Sexy Red, Krishan, and Blueface, and you have all of this toxicity and things like that. And, you know, I can't monitor to them 24/7. And, you know, there's influences when they go to school and things like that. So it's a full-time job having to stay in their ear and let them know. I know you see these things on social media, but this is the, you know, the proper way of acting. You know, you want to walk in righteousness and things like that. I tell my son, like, sex is not a flex. Like, you know, excuse my French, a retard can get some sex, you know, a man in a wheelchair can get some sex. Like, sex is not a flex.
Yeah.
The biggest flex is having self-control. That's where the flex comes in at.
Yes.
So that's what I try to teach my boys especially, but my girl as well.
Yeah. Good luck teaching, like I said, the boy and the girl, you know what I'm saying? Because this generation, I feel bad for the future generation because it's everywhere, you know what I'm saying? It really is just everywhere. It's all in the marketing and stuff. It's crazy, you know, but you got to trust your morals and trust what you instilled in them.
Right.
Just and you got to let them create a journey for their own. You know, so if they make a mistake, you just got to support them through it, you know. So and this, like I said, this has come from someone with no kids, you know what I'm saying? So but
you're on point, though, 100% accurate there.
But you definitely have to do that, you know. So talk to me about the Dating with Love games. How did this come about?
Okay, well, I am the creator of Journey to Love Dating Game Show. And while I've been on this spiritual journey, I'm a strong believer that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Mm-hmm. And so I've been under spiritual leader Vane Thomas for the past 12, 13 months now. And he has us do, I've grown a lot under him. We do meditation. You know, he has a study. We study astrology in a sense of learning about who we are. He has us create things like prayer wheels, you know, using our astrological chart. So I've grown an immense amount under this man. And one day, July, maybe 15th of this year, where we host our rooms on Clubhouse. And mm-hmm. so we're in Clubhouse that day. And he says, "Love, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you that you've been playing it way too safe. Mm. And if you continue to live beneath your potential, that you're going to continue to struggle." And when he gave it to me, it almost made it seem like I needed to apply for another job, you know. And I was a little confused because I'm like, okay, now, Holy Spirit, you know I don't want a second job. I'm trying to make it out of corporate America. I don't want to get another job, right?
We all trying to make it out of corporate America.
Trying to make it out of here. Yeah, so I'm like, so what could he be referring to, you know? And the Holy Spirit is like, think, love, use your brain. And sure enough, within 3 days at 3 o'clock in the morning, there the idea was Journey to, or The Dating Game is how it came on,
mm-hmm.
The Dating Game. And I woke up like, whoa, that's a great idea. And I ran with it. And I called my homegirl up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I got this idea, you know, gave it to her. And she was like, we're doing it. We got to do it. And for me, someone who has come from not being consistent, it's kind of where my journey started. Mm-hmm. I've never finished anything in my life. And so when I called her and shared this information with her, she was like, "Oh, we doing this and you're going to see this through." Like, she left no room for me to be able to doubt myself, for me to be able to back out. She was like,
that's a real friend right there.
You know what I'm saying?
That is a real friend.
And it's important to have those kind of people in your life, because I also had someone in the other ear saying, well, you know, why do you think that would work? You know, giving me all these different hurdles and things like that, where I had to tell them, hey, if you don't have anything of value to add, I just need you to stop talking to me right now.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't care how foolish my ideas sound. As my friend, as someone who loves me in my life, you need to be cheering me on. Be my number one fan. And so she did that, and sure enough, it worked. We succeeded.
Yes. Shout out to the friend, because mm-hmm. that's a real friend, you know what I'm saying? They'll ride with you through no matter what crazy idea you have. And also shout out to ones that will stick by you and help you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I experienced that too with podcasting, believe it or not. Like, I definitely had the doubters, the naysayers, the people. I didn't even tell my family about the podcast until like episode 100 or something. Because it's like, you have a lot of people that doubt you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it can come within your own family. Yeah. But then it be people, strangers and stuff that don't even know you, that they supporting you and stuff. So that's my little two cents about that. So shout out to everybody that's been supporting. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. Go ahead and pull up that liquor if you all doing so, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Go ahead, like and subscribe. Go ahead and tell a friend to like and subscribe and share this thing, please, because we're taking over. But continuing, let's get to the game. Now, how did you come up with the concept for the game? Because, like I said, I witnessed it myself, and it's a very interesting concept.
Well, when the idea dropped on my spirit as The Dating Game, that's actually the name of a game mm-hmm. show from the late 70s, early 80s. And so mm-hmm. I took pretty much that exact same concept. Back then, they were known for using a woman and pair her with three male bachelors.
Mm-hmm.
In this climate, though, where we have so much of an imbalance, you know, to the men and women ratio, I use one man mm-hmm. and pair them with three bachelorettes. And so when I had that first game, I had three rounds. So I had one bachelor pair them with three bachelorettes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a divider so they can hear them but not see them, mm-hmm. ask them a series of questions, decide who they want to have dinner with based on their responses. And there's a restaurant right there in the venue. So we'll send them off to enjoy a meal that we pay for while we move on to the next round of bachelors and mm-hmm. bachelorettes. And so we did that for three rounds, brought them back at the end of the game, and let us know if they were interested in a second date or not.
And now, which ones now, so far, have you like kept track of which ones who done still been together, or how's that been?
Yeah, from the first game, two of the three couples are still rocking. And we actually have one that may be coming through on the December 16th game with a special announcement. So,
a special announcement. Yeah. Okay, that is good.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting, you know, and because I wondered that myself. I'm like, how would you feel if someone actually got married based on the game, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually pursuing to get either become an ordained minister or, you know, I can get a notary license or something like that, mm-hmm. so that I am able to officiate weddings because, yeah, this is going to grow. Like, this isn't a game for me. You know, I know mm-hmm. it's called Journey to Love Dating Game. Mm-hmm. Show, but this is really a mission and a purpose and a passion for me. So these are real genuine authentics being made and real connections being made to where we're going to see many of marriages happen.
Mm. Yeah, I'm definitely here for it, you know what I'm saying? Now, how would you convince people to stick it out and want to pursue marriage, knowing that sometimes people have a negative thought about marriage, you know what I'm saying? They'll easily say marriage is just a business contract or something like that. Despite all the negative connotations that come with marriage, how would you allow people, convince people that marriage will be the right way to go?
You know, really all I can do is be an example because, you know, in this internet day, there's a lot of group thinking that is happening. And so I don't even know how much of this is really people's own way of thinking and feeling versus, you know, you really do want someone. So mm-hmm. it's hard to kind of decipher that balance there. But I'm just going to lead by example. For me, I think marriage is important because, you know, we desire companionship.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have somebody steady that I can be intimate with, you know, have intercourse with. Like, there's benefits behind marriage. And for me, even just having that, to me, it's sacred. Marriage is a sacred thing, and I think the word sacred has even been diluted and watered down to where we don't understand these different sacred unions and the value of them, which is, again, why we just give ourselves up easily in sex and things like that. Mm-hmm. But no, marriage is a sacred entity. I desire the companionship that comes with it and, you know, the death do us part. I want to take care of my partner when he's sick and can't take care of himself or, you know, be there to pour into him and encourage him, pray with him. You know, elevate, evolve, increase our finances. You know, you be the oxygen, I be the hydrogen. We come together and we make H2O.
That's real. That's definitely, that's a real mindset. But it's like, it's rare to find real thinking like that in today's society. I don't know if you noticed or not, but it can be very hard to find that out here, you know.
Yeah, and again, that's the purpose of my podcast, because you have a lot of these podcasts that are very negative, and I guess that's maybe what sells, is to be on the opposing end, to cause the division and to promote divide in our community.
Yeah, and I noticed that, but I definitely noticed that it's like a lot of people want to divide, and they still believe in divide and conquer, you know what I'm saying, but in reality, it's like if you come together, that's like a strong force that just cannot be stopped. That's why if you look at the history, that's why the government tried to break up the Black families in the 60s and the 70s and stuff. And it was just, you got to do your research on that. So now talk to me about the process of finding bachelors, you know, like elaborate on that. Is it hard to find bachelors or is it, because I know it ain't easy because anybody could do it if it was easy, but you
exactly.
know.
It's definitely work. It is definitely work. I utilize social media is a big part of it, you know, mm-hmm. especially now that my vehicle is down, engine went out. But so right now I do utilize social media as a big part, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. But when I do have the opportunity to go out and beat the streets, I am outside as mm-hmm. well. And it's almost, I had one person tell me, you're like a reporter for dating. And so, you know, I'll just walk up to someone. And if I feel, you know, they have a good vibe, good energy, go up to them and start a conversation, let them know, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Would you be interested? And so once I get, like for this December game, right, ideally, I like to get about 6 to 7 men who have committed to say, yes, I'm interested and I want to be on your game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that list of men and I will put them out there on, again, different platforms to the ladies. Mm-hmm. Hey, ladies, here's the men that we have for this particular round. who's interested. Now, with these 6, 7, 8 men, I got about 30 to 40 women showing up. And so I will ask these 30 to 40 women, out of these 8 men, which are the top 3 that you would ideally see yourself wanting to date? And so based on who has the 3 men that have the highest votes, those are the men that I choose. And then I go through a pairing process with the ladies to see who are most compatible with the men that were selected.
Wow, that's a whole process.
It's a process.
You know there are matchmakers that do this and they charge like $3,000 or $4,000 to do that?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I remember, I think it was like up somewhere in the 100s. I think it was 130 or 131 where I actually talked to a matchmaker and she told me she charged like $3,000 or $4,000 to do that. And right. And the way you talk about it, I'm like, in my head, damn, you could probably make money doing that.
Yeah, you know, eventually it's going to come. Like, the plan is to have my purpose, because this is purpose for me. So, you know, if I had to do it for free for the rest of my life, I would. But, you know, the goal in life is to have your purpose pay you. So once you know who you are and you're able to tap into your purpose and who, you know, what you're supposed to be doing here, the money's going to come eventually along with that. So
that's real.
Yeah, seek you first, know who you are, and righteousness and everything that you desire will be added unto you.
That's real right there. Because like I said, I saw the process and you talked about that. You just elaborate on the process. And I'm like, and I'm thinking like, there are matchmakers that do that same thing, but they want like $1,000 or $2,000 a month, you know what I'm saying? For the help, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes the match don't even work out, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. For me, my main goal in this life is to be on stages around the globe, teaching and speaking a message of Christ consciousness. So again, this is really just a starting point, you know, so I don't suspect my riches and glory and fame to come from this dating game. This is really darn. The community is broken. I have an assignment to help heal us as a community. So again, I'd do it for free for the rest of my life if I had to.
Yeah, more power to you, because the community, when it comes to dating, it's like it needs a whole lot of healing. And it's like it's going to take more. You might need a whole army. That's how bad it's been, because I'm pretty sure you done heard everybody talking about the dating pool and stuff. And it feels like the dating pool gets even worse when you got people that are outright telling you, no, I won't go here, or I won't. They'll have a list of places they won't go. I know you saw that list. Like, knowing what you know and what you and your experience, what do you think? Because I kind of want to get a lady's perspective on this, because I talked to the fellas about this, and the fellas weren't really too thrilled about hearing a long list, probably 1 or 2 things on them long list that they agree with. But I looked at that list and I'm like, are you serious? What the hell are you supposed to do with the person?
Yeah. You know, I was a little conflicted about that whole ordeal there, because a woman like me does not go after superficial material things. So, you know, where you take me for a date is like the last thing on my mind. And I would like to believe there are a lot of women like me who, you know, doesn't care about things like that. And I have had a lot of guys around that situation tell me like, oh, no, there are a lot of women out here who navigate like that. And then my question becomes, okay, well, why are you gravitating towards these type of women? Because there are millions of women out here who don't think like that. And so I'm a strong, firm believer. Like, we attract, I was just saying on my podcast yesterday, we attract who and where we are. But to go a little deeper, we attract a variety of different people. Who are you choosing to entertain? So if you're choosing to entertain these women who are, again, this shallow to say, oh, I'm not going to go to dinner with you here and there, then I have to ask you to check yourself. What is it about you that is choosing that type of a person?
That's definitely real. But it's like sometimes people will choose those, because sometimes you'll settle for those options, you know, because the ones that are like that won't think like that, they're kind of hard to find, if we're being honest, you know.
Really? Is that right? Hard to find?
Yeah.
I just think that because men are visual creatures. And so if you have the average girl who, again, is likely not going to think like that, but because he desires a 10 and she's just a 7, he's going to pass her up to go get him a 10 who thinks like, you know, like that.
Yeah, but I also think the older you get, the more you're like, okay, forget about the 10. You want someone that brings you peace, and you don't care if it's a 7 or a 6, you know what I'm saying? Because You want somebody that brings you peace, but sometimes the sevens and the sixes, they don't really be out as much. They don't really be out on the scene as much. They just be, sometimes they'll just go to work and go home. So it's like sometimes we'll have to settle for the people that will try to tell us that, oh no, they'll turn their nose up at a Cheesecake Factory. You're like, come on now.
Yeah, and you could even tell in that scenario where she was like, I look like this. What do you mean? You know, and so to me, that says that the men that are pursuing her mm-hmm. are going after what she looks like because she put a lot of weight and value on her mm-hmm. looks. So again, that still goes back to the guy that is choosing mm-hmm. these type of women because you desire to have this baddie on your arm, regardless of she dumb as a box of rocks or that her soul is black. She look good on the outside. So, yeah. You know, here we are in a toxic, stupid situation. And that situation got too much hype.
It did. It definitely did. It's like, and I saw it. I was like, are you serious, man? Mm-hmm. And it's like that shouldn't have been, even been a recording. That should have just been, look, well, if this ain't good enough for you, world, I could just take you on home and call it a day. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because if that ain't good enough, then, well, I don't know what right. what is, you know, because if you trip about this, you're setting the expectations and you're going to make things harder on yourself.
Right. Yeah. So people should definitely use discernment in your selection process is really the biggest advice that I have. Like, hopefully we're having a couple of conversations on the phone before we've even made it to this let's go out and date part. And hopefully if you're mm-hmm. using discernment, you know what type of person you're dealing with before you go even pick them up. So.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You definitely got to use discernment. Now, how do you motivate people who, when it comes to that love journey, let's say the love journey has just not been good. The journey for pursuing love has just been kicking their ass. But how do you tell people to get up and not get into, not allow defeat, to not be defeated by the journey of love?
Start with the journey of loving yourself first, mm-hmm. ultimately. Like, self-love sets the standard for how others are to love you. And so, do you know who you are? Like, do you know what you like? Do you cater to your five senses? What do you like to smell, taste, feel, touch, and hear? Do you mm-hmm. know that much about yourself on that level? And you actually cater to those things. You do things that make you feel good. And if you are, and once you resonate at that level and you vibrate that frequency, it's going to automatically attract people to you. They're going to see your happiness and your light, and they're going to want to become a part of that. So mm-hmm. if you're having a struggle on your journey to find love, I would say start loving yourself first. Take yourself mm-hmm. out on those dates, buy yourself flowers, mm-hmm. take yourself on a trip, you know, dance for no reason. You know, mm-hmm. I work from home. I'll get up and get dressed for no reason, just to sit at home and at my desk. I look cute, you know, mm-hmm. and then that may lead to me going out later that night, and, mm-hmm. you know, because I look too cute to let it just go to waste. So it's just to start to care for yourself on a level that you desire to be cared for.
Yeah, that's real. You definitely got to care for yourself because, you know, I say you'll never know how, you know, say something simple as like getting your hair done or something like that, or, you know, just waking up feeling good, you yeah. know, it's just. It's like a shot of confidence, you know Absolutely. What I'm saying? And you definitely need that shot of confidence to make it through today's society, you know what I'm saying? Because it's crazy out here.
Yeah. And confidence was an area that I struggled in for a long time. But again, a lot of people, we really just don't know who we are. And we're just wandering around, you know, through this wilderness trying to figure it out. But once you realize and find out who you are, life just seems to change and it's just better.
Yeah, and you definitely embrace who you are. You just mm-hmm. got to embrace the strengths and That's stuff. It. Now, what do you tell people who are so just feel so good about self-love to where they don't even pursue dating anymore? Like, they don't even get on dating apps and stuff, you know? Is it just going to have to come mm-hmm. at some point in time? Or how do you motivate someone to get on the dating app to evolve that? We love you. We established that you love yourself.
Right.
And now how do you motivate someone to move on to that next point? Because it's that now we mastered the self-love. That ain't nothing. But the motivation to get up and want to try to meet people again. How do you motivate someone to try to want to meet people again?
You know, that's a really great question and point. And me and my right-hand man, my buddy Bryant, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, where he says that self-love is making us selfish. Like, we've gotten
That's true. Right? It's definitely true. It's because it's like you get to a point of you're at peace and you don't want somebody to come in and mess up this peace because they want to have all these demands, but they're not giving you nothing in return.
Right, exactly. And I'll be honest, I was there, you know, on this healing journey. Like, my homegirl had to tell me, it's time for you to get out and start dating, you know? Like, she had to convince me because, for me, I've exerted so much energy in that 25-year relationship that I just feel exhausted when I'm encountering people on that level. But then that's also a reflection that, okay, well, then there may be some healing that still needs to be done, right? Because, I mean, ideally, I do want someone. I want companionship. But if I'm so, again, still in this place where the idea of a relationship either scares me or exhausts me or things like that, then there's still some work I need to do. But the goal is to be able to make myself whole to where I can add value to someone else's life. So I would say to just be intentional and aware and accountable are like really big ticket items to help us navigate through not only life, but through dating.
Yes. Yes. You definitely need those three things, but I do need, I do tell people this cause I was guilty of this myself, but you can hold yourself down, but just don't kill yourself about it. Don't wear yourself down about it. You know, like, remember years ago, I had an older gentleman tell me to stop being so hard on myself. Is you're doing good. Just stop being so hard on yourself. It's just, it's the people out here. It's the people mindsets. It's just, your thinking is so different from what's being offered to you, you know?
Absolutely. I'm actually a pretty avid reader of the Bible. Like, every day I'm reading in this Bible now. I'm not a religious person. So I use this Bible because it has wisdom in it. And when I started off on my journey of reading through the Bible in 2021, I read through the whole Bible, chronological order, and I went in with the mind of, let me see who does God say that I am, because I didn't know. You know, all I had was the identity of the world that gave me, or my mom, or my hurt, my trauma. Like, that's all that I knew. And so as I got into this Bible and I started to understand who does God say that I am, God says that I am not made of fear and timidity. You know, God says, what can mere mortals do to you? God says that I am made of power, love, and self-discipline, a sound mind. Like, once you begin to, again, understand who you are and what you're made of, you're able, once those thoughts of inadequacies, insecurities, doubt, and fear, and shame, once those begin to surface, and they will, you have this backup, this knowledge, this wisdom from this Holy Bible to let you know, no, you're made with power. That's who you are. You're not made with fear and timidity. So, yeah, I use that Bible as a way to continue to affirm over me, to remind me that I am a God. You know, I have the power of Christ flowing through me. And when that resonates with me, that removes all fear. You know, that brings that state of peace that surpasses all understanding. So I'm a big advocate of the Bible.
Yes, yes. I definitely agree on it. Like, say you, especially when you're raised on the Bible, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you definitely got to go back and definitely do want to study it. And also, you got to speak the words of affirmations and stuff, because words are definitely powerful, you know what I'm saying? And I remember you were doing the 30 days of affirmations and stuff during the month of October. See, I've been paying attention now. It's like, you know what I'm saying? And you were definitely saying some powerful things, and that people need to speak into those things, into existence,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Our words are so powerful. And as I was making the transition to come out of my relationship with my ex-husband, I was talking to my homegirl one day, and I guess maybe I had been complaining way too long about my current situation. I'm tired of this. I don't want to continue to be in this situation. I hate it here. And one day, again, maybe tired of hearing it, she was like, okay, look, this is going to be, make this our last month of steady talking about this, but you can't continue to focus on the things that you don't want. You have to turn your mind to the things that you do want. And it was, that was a light bulb for me that went off. You know, I began to pay more attention to the words that I speak. And she said that, so instead of complaining about your situation, what you want to do is say, God, your will be done over my life, whatever that may be. remove anything from me that's not of you so I can forever be in your presence. And so I took that anytime I would get angry, upset, feel any kind of emotion stir up in me that wasn't healthy, whatever it may be, maybe I'm in doubt, you know, it didn't matter. Whatever it was in that moment, I would use that, God, remove anything from me that's not of you so I can forever be in your presence. And I promise you, within about a month or so, my situation began to change around me, like not even paying attention, but things just began to get different. And I elevated, you know, yet another level to where I was forced to level up in a sense. But yeah, the power of our words really do shape and create our reality. So I'm big on wordplay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Definitely big on wordplay. Mm-hmm. So watch what she's speaking. Also, you got to watch where you put your energy at, because yes, if you focus on everything just being bad and, you know, it's like, because I admit I've had to do that too. It's like, because I can, like I say, you see it all the time, dating pool trash, people complain about the dating pool, people complain about, oh, men being passport bros and stuff, or women being this. It's like, you know what? You just got to say, forget that noise, because the right person, they're going to contradict everything, you know?
Yeah, I don't get that whole focusing on what's not for me, you know, because like you say, we have this group thinking that all men are this, all women are that, like mm-hmm. say the passport bros, the women do this. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, but those people aren't what I'm looking for, or what I'm into anyway. So mm-hmm. why am I going to put my attention, or I don't care about no passport, bro, you know, so I'm not even going to waste my energy or my time mm-hmm. talking about a passport, bro, because that's not what's for me, or, you know, where I'm at in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to focus on not only making myself better so I can attract the mm-hmm. man that's for me, but yeah, I'm going to go navigate and, you know, rub shoulders with the people who are in more in alignment with me. That's yeah. where my energy is going
to
go.
And that's where everybody's energy should go, to the people who align who more with them for you. And you know what? And also, when the universe gives you a sign that the person is not for you, you need to get rid of them. I don't care how good the sex is, you know yeah. what I'm saying? Because what I find is a lot of people that they'll use that soul bonds or the sex yeah. bonds as an excuse to give this person 50 million chances when they know damn well that this person is not going to get right.
Yeah. And again, a lot of that comes down to a broken way of thinking, having that broken filter, you thinking that this is the best that you deserve. Like for me to have stayed in my relationship for 25 years and it was toxic the whole way, I still say to myself, like, dang, you had to really have hated yourself. You had to really had a very low self-worth of who you are, you know, because there's no way a healthy minded person would have stayed in a situation that long. But now that I'm out of it and my mind is healed and my heart has been made whole, it's like, yeah, you were really struggling with self-worth and self-value. You clearly didn't know who you were.
Yeah, like, yeah, at least you're honest about it, because a lot of people, they'll still be in denial about it, or they'll might be in a situation. But I do say shout out to the married couples who have lasted longer than 25 years. They've evolved together and grown together, because like I said, I've definitely had a few of them on the podcast over here. So shout out to those couples and stuff. But I'm glad you got out of a situation that was just not good for you, you know. So I need everybody out there, if you're in a situation that's not good for you, you got to get out, because life is short and sometimes you got to be selfish.
Absolutely. And it's not even, I don't even know if we can call it selfish. Like sometimes you got to love yourself just a little bit more than you love mm-hmm. that other person. You know, you deserve, like the way we were taught coming up, like I know a big part of me staying in my relationship was because as women, we were taught once you're married, you know, that's your husband, you stick it out no mm-hmm. matter what. You know, those type of thinking, that whole struggle love mentality that mm-hmm. we have. And we're outgrowing that. That's not true. Again, as an avid reader of the Bible, you're called to live in peace and always be grateful. Like, you know, you're not called to be bonded with someone that's going to hurt you and cause you pain. That's not what God wants for your life. You know, you are called to live in peace and be happy, joy filled, and in the best position to allow the creator to use you. Can you do that if you're in a toxic mm-hmm. situation?
And you can't be in that situation, because that person is going to find a way to hold you back somehow, some way. They will find a way to hold you back, but sometimes it could be you might have a kid with them, or you might I don't know. Like, they might find a way to trap you or manipulate you to think that they're the best thing to be there with you when that's not the case.
Absolutely. And that goes right back then to knowing who you are. If you know who you are, you know you're divine. You know you are a God. Nobody can convince you that you deserve to struggle or you deserve to live a life on a low vibration or low frequency.
Yes, you cannot live on a low vibration. You cannot live that way because life is too damn short to be thinking that way, you know what I'm saying? Because it's too much out here and there's too many things out here killing us, remind us that life is short, but it's crazy out here.
Yeah, I was just scrolling through social media the other day and saw a RIP for one of my classmates. You know, I'm 43 years old, and to see that someone I went to school with just dropped dead, like people have no idea, you know, what he even passed from. You know, it's just like, well, it's been a week, he hadn't been to work, you know, he's just dead at 43. Wow. And for me, it was like, okay, I don't want to continue. Time management is life management. Time is the biggest commodity that all of us have the same amount of. What are you spending your time on? How are you utilizing your time? Because eventually that time will run out, you know, so make sure you're spending it wisely.
Yeah, and that's real. And like I said, because I definitely experienced that as well. Like, I've seen people I went to college with around my age pass away, and I'm like, wow, that one hit home. And then I even had, like, somebody in my childhood, like a childhood friend, passed away, like, and that one, it kind of hit home. It's still like, because it's somebody I grew up with. His family knew my father. They stayed right up the street from us, you know.
Right.
And it's like, and that young man, it's like sometimes I'll see his son that he left behind. I'm like, now I think of him, you know, like, damn. And it's like, I remember I had to do a podcast right after that with a heavy heart because it's like, you don't really expect people to go that young, you know what I'm saying? It makes you want to do better and take care of yourself, you know.
Absolutely. Life is too short.
Yeah, life is too short. And it's like, even though I got a birthday coming up, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you're cautiously thinking about that, you know what I'm saying? But hey, you got to be happy to make it to another year and stuff. Yeah. So what do you want people to really understand about the dating game, see, that you put on?
Well, that is not just for single people. Like, my mission is to set the atmosphere to help bring people together to where you can meet in a more organic setting as opposed to the online thing. But even once you are connected with someone, the journey doesn't stop there, right? Like, we need to know how to sustain relationships. So this is a dating game show where we want people from all walks of life to come, so that, because we do also have our open panel discussions. So it's good to hear from the married couples on how did you make your relationship last this long. It's good to hear from the divorced people to find out what didn't work and what do you think you should have done better. It's good to hear from the newlyweds to, you know, find out whatever information that they have. So this environment is for everybody. Come out and watch real love connections happen in real time, as well as add value with your knowledge and information as well.
Yes, yes, you definitely need to add good value, you know what I'm saying? And also, I guess I do want to say shout out to you for also providing that platform to where people can express themselves and feel respected, because you see a lot of platforms where it's like a man can say something or a woman can say something. Yeah. And guess what? They're getting backlash for it. And they're like, oh, it made me feel like this or it made me feel like that. Like, nobody gives a damn about that. It's like, we'll give you real advice from the things we went through. You don't have to react to it. You just take it or leave it.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually, I'm so self-aware. Like, I'm so self-aware. It's a whole nother level. But I was talking to a friend and I mentioned, like, you know, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you, you know, why aren't you tied down? You know, you're a good guy. You're good looking. You're this, that, and the third. Like, what's wrong with you? And he sent me a video like the next day where it spoke about these double standards where women, if a woman doesn't want to date a man that's shorter than her, then it's a preference. But if a man doesn't want to date a woman that's overweight, it's what's wrong with you? You know, how could you be such an asshole or a jerk, or, you know, and it had a few scenarios like that. And so when he sent that to me, I had to first, you know, my bad. I shouldn't have said that to you. There's nothing wrong with you, because he was 100% right. We have these double standards, and women are able to allow to think a certain way, but it's not okay for men to think that way. And so I had to backpedal on that, let them know, you know, thank you for sending this to me. My apologies. I respect where you're coming from, but yeah, it's tough out here.
Yes, it's definitely tougher. And I'm glad you recognize that. I'm glad you were able to take accountability for that, because I know a lot of people that they would present the double standards and they wouldn't bat one eye. Even if it's presented to you like, hey, this is a double standard, they'll probably still look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah. And my homegirl was giving me some feedback yesterday in regards to some things that she sees about me. And being that I know who I am, and I'm aware of who I am, she was saying some things that I think probably would have hurt the average person. But if you're my friend, I don't think you have any malice intent. So I'm going to listen to your feedback and decide even if it's for me or if it's not. I'm not going to internalize it. I'm going to, again, evaluate what you put out there because you know me and you care for me. So let me evaluate this. But then when the tables turned and it was time to give feedback back to you, it was, oh, I feel attacked. Oh, I'm going to personalize this, you know, and things like that. And we have to be open vessels to, if a person is in your life, they are meant to serve as a mirror for you because you're not going to see yourself in the same way that I see you. So if you love me and you know, you trust me, you think I'm a good friend, my goal is not to attack you. It's you serve as a mirror to me. Iron sharpens iron. There it is, you know.
Yes,
so yeah, accountability is huge. Be able to take a criticism from people, you know.
Yes,
so.
You definitely have to take criticism from people because, you know, at the end of the day, the ones that give you the criticism, they want to see you get better. You should be worried about the ones who are quiet about the criticism. Hello. They ain't going to say it to your face, but they'll say it on social media.
Your back.
They'll say it on social media, or they'll chirp like the birds to other people, you know what I'm saying? And those aren't real people, but hey, but like I said, what's done in the dark always comes to light. So eventually that will show up.
Absolutely.
But that's just crazy to deal with that. So what's the plans for the podcast going forward?
The plan for the podcast is to drop 2 episodes a week. You know, again, I still struggle with some of those old ways of being, with the whole being consistent and, you know, because I struggle with self-worth and self-value for so long, I do have to affirm myself on a regular basis. I have to talk to myself. So the other day, you know, I had to tell myself, like, look, you need to start showing up better. Like, this is your world. Forget them squirrels. You know, who gonna check you? Show up, girl. What you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be having to talk to myself, check myself. So I am going to start doing the podcast at least 2 episodes a week. Eventually, my goal is to, because my games are every other month, I want to get to a point where I'm having open panel discussions, maybe even in a setting like this here, similar to tonight's conversation, but where we're speaking more on serious topics that's going to lead to healing, that's going to lead to us, how we see each other as Black men and Black women and how we love on one another. So I would like to eventually start doing these open panel discussions as well.
Yes, that is real. That's something we need. And like I said, and like I've told you in the past, I still stand on it. Like whenever you need me to come on, be on the opening panel, I will definitely come through for you. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta let me know when. Okay. But lastly, why do people need to subscribe and tap in with the Journey with Love? Why should people go ahead and people not in Florida should go ahead and subscribe to the podcast?
Because we are on a road to enlightenment is why you should be subscribing to the Journey with Love podcast. It's time that we heal ourselves and quit wandering through the wilderness where there's nothing but hurt, pain, confusion, discord, chaos. You know, let's come out to, I had just said the other day, and I should have wrote it down, that we want to get off of we want to get off of the bus that's not leading us anywhere. Mm-hmm. We want to get on the bus that's, you know, where it's lit, it's turned up at. But you have to first get rid of some of the bags that you got. You know, you can't transfer off of this broke down bus with all of your luggage. You got to get rid of some bags to get on this new bus that's leading to, again, that place of peace that surpasses all understanding. So if you want to ride with me on that bus, then you want to tune into my podcast as we elevate, grow, evolve, and become the best versions of ourselves.
Yes, that's real. Now keep the Louis luggage. Get rid of all the luggage.
That's right. One bag only is all you get to take. And make sure those items are light.
Yes, make sure those items definitely light. Well, love, I want to thank you for blessing the Liquor Talk with your presence. Thank you for pulling up on me at the new studio, yes. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you want me to come through, you just let me know. I will definitely pull up on you. And hell, if you want me to get involved with these dating games, you just let me know anyway. I will definitely be of service to you. And also, thank you, the listener, for tuning in to this hour of Liquor Talk. I hope you guys make it home safely. Remember, don't drink and drive, ladies and gentlemen, because we aren't responsible for your DUIs. But I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever. This has been Liquor Talk. We are taking over for the 21 and the 22. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we're out this thing. Good night, y'all.